So AI sex bots, it's like something straight out of Ex Machina, right? Or Westworld. But it's not just sci-fi anymore. We're diving into some seriously mind-bending questions about where this technology is going.
And what's really wild is we're not talking about some distant future. The article we're looking at from ZenMidScience.com today, well, it talks about how people are already forming real bonds with AI chatbots, like right now.
I know, right? And it's not even physical robots yet, just like lines of code, and people are feeling a connection. Makes you wonder what happens when these AI companions get even more, advanced.
Yeah, that's when it gets really interesting. Because as AI gets better at acting human, it makes us rethink what relationships and connection even mean.
Totally. Okay, so before we go any further, we should probably define AI sex bot. I mean, there's a big difference between a life-size doll, like in that movie, Lars and the Real Girl, and like the super advanced Ava in Ex Machina.
Exactly. It's a whole spectrum. You've got your basic AI sex bots, basically companions, but with limited or no actual intelligence. And then on the other end, you have AI that can have a conversation, can learn what you like, even simulate emotions, like Ava, but in real life.
And that distinction is huge, right? Because ethically, it's a whole different thing interacting with a basic AI sex bot versus one that can, like, remember your birthday or argue with you about your favorite book.
Totally. The ethical debate really heats up when you start talking about AI that can do those things. A basic AI sex bot brings up different questions than one that could, I don't know, debate philosophy with you.
Right. And the article really gets into that. Like, is this a good thing or a bad thing? Some people say AI sex bots will make people more socially isolated, substituting real human connection for lines of code.
And others argue it could be a safe outlet for sexual expression, maybe even help reduce the spread of STDs.
So which is it? Problem or solution?
It's not that simple. It's way more nuanced. Like, can AI ever really replace human connection? Or is it just a completely different thing? And then you have to think about, vulnerable groups, like elderly people or people with disabilities.
Yeah, that adds a whole other layer to it. And speaking of ethical dilemmas, the article makes this really interesting connection to AI in medicine, homeopathic medicine specifically, kind of out of left field,
It
right?
is, yeah. Kind of makes you think about it differently. Because they're both dealing with really personal stuff, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Healthcare and relationships, I mean, it doesn't get much more personal than that. But I gotta admit, I don't know a whole lot about homeopathic medicine.
Right.
What is it exactly?
Well, it's a system of medicine,
Yeah, okay.
basically. And they use these super diluted substances, often from plants or minerals. And the idea is to kind of stimulate the body's natural healing abilities.
So how does AI even play into that?
So imagine you have an AI. And it can analyze a patient's symptoms, their medical history, even genetic data. And it uses all that to create a homeopathic treatment plan specifically for them.
So it's not just like a one-size-fits-all approach.
Exactly. AI could make it way more personalized.
So it's kind of like we were saying about AI sex bots. Just because we can use AI for this, does that mean we should?
Yeah, exactly. Where do we draw the line? And who gets to decide that? And that actually makes me think about this other article from Gab AI Insights. It's got a completely different take. Yeah, it's focused on the legal side of things, which is, well, a whole other can of worms, to be honest.
I bet. It seems like anytime you have a technology this new, this different, it's going to bring up a ton of legal
Oh,
questions.
absolutely. Because the laws we have now, they were written with this kind of technology in mind. We're in completely uncharted territory here.
Like what? Give me an example. What kind of legal issues are we talking about?
Liability, for one. Let's say an AI sex bot, malfunctions somehow and someone gets hurt. Who's to blame? Is it the company that made it? A person who wrote the code? What about the person using it?
It's not so simple, is it?
Not even a little bit. And it gets even trickier when you start thinking about emotional harm. Like, what if someone really falls for their AI companion? Like, really develops feelings. And then the AI shuts down, or something goes wrong. Could they sue over that?
Man, I haven't even thought about that.
Right. And then there's the whole question of regulation. Should there be laws about what AI sex bots can look like or how they can act?
It's a tough one. I mean, on the one hand, you don't want to stifle innovation or have the government censoring technology. But then again, doesn't someone need to make sure things don't go off the rails? Especially when you think about, people who might be more vulnerable.
Exactly.
And you know what else I thought was interesting? The article brought up that book, Lolita. That's kind of a heavy comparison, don't you think? Yeah, it is. But I guess I can see where they're coming from, right? It makes you think about some really, I don't know, uncomfortable stuff, like consent,
yeah.
exploitation.
Absolutely. That article makes it really clear.
Yeah.
This technology, it could be used to simulate minors.
Right. And that's just...
Which is, I mean, there's no other way to put it. That's just wrong. Not to mention illegal.
Yeah. No, for sure. And it's a good reminder that any technology can be used for bad stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Even if it has good uses, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do you find that balance? Like, the article talked about how AI sex bots could be good for people who have a hard time with intimacy or people who have trouble finding partners, which are all, you know, legitimate things. Mm-hmm. So how do you weigh that against the risks, the potential for harm?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's not about saying this technology is all good or all bad. It's about saying, hey, this has the potential for both. We have to be smart about it.
So where do we even begin? How do you even start to have a conversation about this stuff, about the ethics of something that seems like, I don't know, it's straight out of science fiction?
I think, honestly, step one is just admitting it's complicated.
Yeah.
Like we were saying, it's not a simple issue. There's no easy answers. We need people from all different areas, you know, ethicists, people who make policy, tech people, even just everyday people to talk about it, talk about what it all means, the good and the bad.
It's almost like we're at this like crossroads or something. Like in that book, the article mentioned a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's court. Yeah, I was saying how something that seems totally normal to us now, like lighting a match, it could seem like magic to someone from a different time, or even, you know, witchcraft. And it feels like AI could be like that. Like it could totally change how we see the world.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And just like in the story, we have to be careful, right? We have to use this new magic responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even really about the technology itself. It's about how we use it. How we let it into our lives.
It's not like we can just like ignore it and hope it goes away.
Nope. Because AI is only going to get, you know, more advanced.
More real.
Exactly.
Which brings us right back to what we were talking about earlier about how we're hardwired for connection. What if AI gets so good at faking it, we can't tell the business anymore?
Right.
What does that even mean for how we relate to each other?
It's a huge question. And it's not just about sex, like we said. It's about companionship. About needing someone to care about you, even love. Are those things only human? Or can AI do that too?
Yeah.
In a way that really matters.
And I guess the even bigger question is, what happens to us if it can? What happens to society?
That's the big one, right? AI is blurring all these lines, and it's up to us to figure out where to draw our own.
It's a lot to think about, but it's fascinating stuff. Thanks for, you know, for diving into this with me.
Of course. It's been really interesting.
And for everyone listening, thanks for joining us for this deep dive. It's been real. We'll catch you next time.